right. Well, if you will, stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. And we're going to read one verse in Job chapter 17, verse 9. And to set that up and to kind of let you know, Job's going through and he's having a really tough time. A lot of health issues, loss of family members, just a lot of hurts going on in his life. And he's wondering, you know, where's God? What's going on? And he says, you know, my name's become a byword. I mean, people just mock me. They laugh at me because of what's going on there. And here I am, you know, saying that I believe this God who can do great things. But look at me and look at my life and how awful it is. But this verse here, he says, nevertheless, the righteous will hold to his way. And he who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. What do we want to do? We want to grow stronger, amen? We're going to talk about our hands this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. And we pray, God, that you would help us as we learn from your word today, that you would teach us, God, by your Holy Spirit, that he would guide us into your truth and that he would give us the ability to obey you and follow your ways, Lord. I understand the strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. And I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. Just to kind of refresh what's going on, we're in our series called Growing Stronger. And we understand we've got our gym back and we're in the gym. But being in the gym doesn't get you in physically fit, does it? You can walk in a gym out of shape and walk back out. Out of shape. If you never apply the weights and the treadmills and all that, just like coming into church doesn't make you a mature believer. You can walk in immature and walk out immature. That happens a lot. Amen. We got a lot of grown up babies in the church world. You understand? People that's been in church their whole life but have never grown up. And they're still immature. Why? Because just going to church and just sitting in church doesn't necessarily mean you're going to grow stronger in your faith. You've got to actually apply what you've been taught and what you're learning and what the Holy Spirit's leading. And you obey. The more you obey God, the more you're going to grow. You see, what we teach here is discipleship is not just information. It's not just about information. It's not just about a lot of Bible knowledge. It is transformation. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to transform how we think, our mind, how we see, our eyes, how we listen, our ears, how we speak, our mouth, our heart, our affections, our desires. It changes everything about us, amen? And so that's what we're trying. And today we're going to talk about our hands. We're going to grow stronger with our hands. Well, how are we going to do that? If we're going to grow stronger with our hands, first off, we need hands that pray. We need hands that pray. Read with me 1 Timothy 2:8. It says, therefore, Paul says, I want men in every place, place to pray, lifting up what? Holy hands without wrath and dissension. Lifting up holy hands. Many times in the Old Testament, they would lift their hands in prayer. They would raise their hands to the heavens. They might kneel down and still lift their hands to the heavens. They may bow and put their hands down. They lift their hands, praying hands. We need to pray at all times. Psalm 28:2 says, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help. When I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary, hear me, God, as I cry out and pray to you. Psalm 88:9, my eye has wasted away because of affliction. He says, I have called upon you every day. Oh, Lord, I have spread out my hands to you. Psalm 141:2 says, may my prayers be counted as incense before you. The lifting up of my hands as an evening offering. Pray. Taking moments out of your day to be still. And know that he is God. You see, a lot of us, we say, oh, we're just too busy to pray. No, we're too busy not to pray. If we're too busy and too rushed in the morning, it's not a prayer problem. It's a lazy problem. Can I get an amen? Amen. It means you just hitting the snooze button way too much. It means you're not going to discipline yourself to get up just a little bit earlier than what you need to get up to make that appointment with God. Huh? Can I, That's just being honest, amen, right? And sometimes I get lazy too. So this is not just preaching to you, it's preaching at me as well, okay? Sometimes it's hard to get up that 30 minutes extra early, right? And so we got to make time to pray. You know, Daniel prayed how many times a day? Just gave it away, three. Three times a day. And he made that a constant. Every great person in the Bible who did anything for God was a man or woman of prayer. They prayed. Lift up our hands to heaven. You know, when you lift up your hands to heaven and pray, you're saying, Lord, you're God, I'm not. I want to receive from you today. I want to hear from you. I need to pray. How's your prayer life? I can tell you, if you're not praying properly, if you're not praying with the right amount of time, if you're not spending time with God, you're not growing. You're not going to grow in your walk with God the way that you should. And the way that you need to experience him if you're not talking with him, right? I mean, think about your relationship with people that you love. If you don't talk to the people you love, does that relationship grow? No. If you want to kill a relationship, stop talking. If you want to stop, if you want to just abandon a relationship, you stop, you cut off all communication and you stop. When you cut off communication with God, you're cutting off a powerful moment that you have to encounter God. He is your God, right? We worship him. We need to speak to him. And he speaks to us as we pray. We listen. He impresses things on our heart. He speaks to us through his word. And he's listening all the time. Now, the next one we need, if we're going to have stronger hands, we need hands to worship. We need hands that worship. We need hands that worship. Psalm 47:1 says, oh, clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with the voice of joy. Clap your hands. How many of y'all realize that clapping your hands is biblical? Some of us grew up in churches where you never did that, right? I mean, you never clapped hands. If you did, they would look at you. You're like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to have fun. This is church. Right? Some of you grew up with that mindset. We're going to church not to have fun. So you got to sit there and be all, you know, can't clap. But the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Psalm 63:3 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Lift up our hands. I can't do that. No. How many of y'all were brought up? I was brought, man, you just would never lift your hands. Never. Right? Nothing wrong with not lifting your hands. If you don't want to lift your hands up, that's fine. You're not being a bad Christian. But if you do lift up your hands, hey, that's an appropriate way to worship. And it took me a long time to break out of that. I never went to a church that lifted up their hands in worship. Right? How many of y'all went to a church like that? All right, some of you can't even raise your hands now because you're like, you just don't even know how to do it. And I was at ICTHUS. How many of y'all ever heard of ICTHUS? Well, I went for the first time. I was leading a youth back in Fairview, and third day was there. And there was this huge group of people, and man, and they were singing, they were playing, and there was I was young at the time myself, but there was even younger people than me, and they were just standing around there, and they were just jumping up and down, and they were lifting their hands up, and I was sitting there like this. I was looking at all my heathen youth jumping up and down, enjoying that music, and I was thinking, what? And there, I was like thinking, I had this battle with God. I said, I ain't jumping up and down. I said, I'm not doing it. Inside of me, it was like, hey, just jump, lift your hands. I was like, no. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this. I mean, I was sitting there having this battle with God. I think the Lord was saying, hey, enjoy it. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the worship. It's okay, Grant. You can jump up. You can lift your hands if you want to. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And I'm sitting there. And then all of a sudden, I go. And I'm start jumping up and down. I'm lifting up my hands. I'm like, wow, this is great. You know, wow, this is okay. It's okay, right? We saw a little bit of that last night, didn't we? Yeah, we have some pictures. We have, this is a group of people lifting their hands in worship at the event, you know? That's biblical. This little girl captured my heart. This is daddy privilege right now. This is Micah. And she's, but don't go to the next slide yet. Just hold on. I got to set that one up. Before we do that, the thing that I tried to get Michelle, I called her, man, and I couldn't get my phone out in time, and then she spotted me. She's got like eyes in the back of her ear. She has ears that is unbelievable. She can just, she just knows exactly where I'm at. If I say one word, what'd you say about me? And I'm sitting, she's sitting there, and Ruckus Rapture, is that right? Ruckus Rapture was playing, you know, and it was kind of weird, wasn't it? And the kind of wild music. And I'm walking in, and I see Michelle there going. And I'm like, oh, man, I gotta get that. And I'm like, yeah, way to go. You go, girl. You worship. And then I spotted this lady, this crazy lady up to left. And I'm telling you, she was just going nuts. This lady, Patty, I got you. I saw you. You were, and Bill was over there. He wasn't moving his. You did, and she was just it was just a fun night of worship, of celebration, and to lift our hands. You know why? Because we lift our hands. If we're for, now listen, right? We can lift our hands to the UK Wildcats, can't we? We can give our applause to them. We are to lift our hands to the only one worth lifting our hands to. And if we can rejoice over country music, some of you don't have a problem going to a country concert lifting your hands, do you? Woo! You say, yeah, but I got some spirits in me then. Well, you got the Holy Spirit in you here to lift you up. We can lift and celebrate Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, don't lift your hand to another who's not God. Now, I'm not saying you can't clap for UK and you can't do that. But what I'm saying is, you do not worship. Our hands are always lifted to God. We don't lift them to man. We don't lift them to anything on this earth. There is only one God that's worthy of our worship. And that is the God of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son in the world to die for us, and that he was crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, rose again, and he sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He is the one worthy of our worship. Amen. So you have a psalm before I read the psalm, I want to read Jeremiah 1:16. He says, I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me, and they've offered sacrifices to other gods and worshipped the work of their own hands. They worship their own work. Look at Psalm 115:1. When we worship false gods, idols, things that don't really amount to anything that's of significance. Psalm 115:1 says this, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Why should the nation say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. And those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. He says, you will become like the very thing that you worship. You will become just like the very thing that you worship. The thing that captures your heart and devotion and praise captures your life. And so what we need, if we're going to grow stronger, we need hands that will pray and hands that will praise, that will worship him. Amen? We also need hands that work. Have you all know that work is a worthy thing and it's a worshipful thing? We need hands that work. Ephesians 4:28 says this, he who steals, must still no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. We were created to work. We were created to produce. Even in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the world, God made Adam and Eve to rule over, to cultivate, and have dominion over the world. So we were made to work, and we are to work. And he says, those of you who were thieves, who have stolen, you are to steal no more. You are to be productive with your hands now, not only so that you can be blessed, so that you can bless someone else. Do you realize that we are supposed to be productive, not just so that we are personally blessed, but that other people are blessed as well? Do you understand that? We can't help someone when we have nothing to give them. You can't bless anybody with something that you don't have. We can't provide shoes for the school if people don't have jobs that go out there and work and purchase some shoes and then bring them here and say, here, go bless some kids that need some shoes. You realize how important this is? We were at a little event and we saw this one kid, his feet were busting out of his shoes. They were busting. I mean, and he was just a fun kid. And I was watching him doing his What do you call that? End of the year, the field day, right? Field day. I need help. And his little feet were busting out of there. And me and Michelle was looking. We saw that, and we were like, all right, you know, we were on it. And she's like, go get him some shoes. So we went and bought him some shoes. I got him some shoes, and we brought them back to him. We said, hey, somebody want to get you some shoes? These are for you. He's like, for me? God, these are my son. He took those shoes off, man, and as quick as he could, he had them on. You know, some kids don't get good shoes. Because, well, there's many reasons why, and that's a whole different subject, a whole different topic, and a whole different message. Some of them aren't blessed with parents who really know how to parent. And the kids suffer. So you say, well, I'll tell you what, their parents, if they would have used this right, and they would do this right, and they would do that, yeah. That's right. But I ain't going to let a kid suffer because their parents are too ornery to do what's right. You see, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he's not to eat dinner either. He's not to eat either. That would change a lot if we actually said, you know, you go to work and get fed. Now, I know there's extreme circumstances. If you're completely disabled and you can't do that, I understand that. But what Paul says, there's some people being lazy in the Thessalonians. They weren't doing their work. He said, if they ain't willing to work, they don't eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. They act like they were working, but they weren't. Some of you know some of those folks. Now such persons we command and exhort to the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it with it heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. And so when you go to work with the attitude that Jesus is my boss. Jesus is my boss. I'm going and doing the best job I can. It doesn't matter if I like my boss or not. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to do my business like I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm going to serve like I'm serving the Lord. I'm going to treat this place that I work as if the Lord owns it. And I'm going to work with the best I can. I'm going to have the best attitude when I show up. I'm going to have the best work ethic when I show up. I'm going to be there to be a light to other people. And we all may hate our job, but by the end of the day, we're going to act like we love it. You know, we're going to enjoy this moment that we have, and it provides food on our table. It provides for us ways to bless God and his kingdom, to help others who are in need. And not only does our family benefit, but my community benefits. And the people that aren't hurting, they benefit. Because I'm productive with my hands. We need hands that work. We need hands that work. Amen? Hands that pray. Hands that worship. hands at work. Lastly, we need hands that build. And when I say build, we're going to talk about building God's kingdom. We need hands that will invest in the kingdom of God. You see, you'll either invest in your own kingdom and build your own kingdom, or you'll invest in God's kingdom, right? You'll either build the Tower of Babel so that you can have a great name, or you will build the kingdom of God so that he may have a great name. Does that make sense? So, Nehemiah spotted a trouble for the Jews. The wall of protection was crumbled. It had been devastated. And so Nehemiah, God puts in Nehemiah's heart the desire to rebuild that wall. He looks around and he says, we need to rebuild this wall. We need to protect our people. And so in Nehemiah 2:17, it says, then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in? That Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. This is a kingdom thing, amen? I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, he brought the congregation together, the people of Jerusalem together, and they arrived. He said, this is their response. They said, let us arise and what? Build. Say, let us build. All right, the rest of you say, let us build. Let us build. Let us build, it says. Let us build. So they put their hands to the good work. They put their hands to the good work. What's the good work? The kingdom work. What's the good work? The kingdom work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem and the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, what is this thing you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. There will always be people come against the kingdom of God. Always. When you try to build the kingdom of God, be assured Satan has his attack. Amen. And he'll try to prevent you and stop you from investing in what truly matters. He'll get you sidetracked in so many ways. He'll get you trapped up in sin. He'll get you trapped up in thoughts. He'll get you trapped up by all kinds of ways to hinder you from investing in the kingdom of God. But you know what? You have a choice. I can either invest in my own personal kingdom or I can invest in the kingdom of God. We got a lot of opportunity to serve here, do we not? Is that Jennifer back there? So Jennifer and Becky, would you all come up here just for a moment? If Jennifer and Becky would come up. And I want to highlight them just for a moment. Yeah, you can give them applause. I'm going to ask you to come up here because I'm afraid if I step down, they'll start coming up and playing. They'll think I'm closing. And we're not there yet. Becky is over the InReach, and Carolyn also is. She does like the prayer request. If you all get prayer requests out, she sends those out. Isn't that awesome? She helps get some things, and so she does that. Becky is on the food side of it. How many of y'all enjoy the cafe? All right. By the way, if you will just drop in a dollar or two to help, it's not a money-making cafe, but we're trying to make it just a self-sustaining cafe. So your donations just help resupply the food, okay? So I'll throw that in there. But she's got the morning cafe, Wednesday night meals. We do family care meals. If someone is sick or in the hospital, we can get meals out to them. Elizabeth Copper's going to take that over. Terry was doing that. We've got those kind of meals. There's all kinds of events that we do throughout the year that they help and serve. There's cleaning up that needs to happen after we eat. How many of y'all know that after we eat, we make a mess? And there's all kinds of that stuff. And she would love to have more hands. She would love to have more hands. Okay? If you want to help with any type of InReach, of the fellowship, of food, of the events that we do, would you please see Becky at your service? Okay. She'll get your name. Is that good?
That's good.
Got anything else? No. Okay. Becky, y'all know her. Now, Jennifer does our outreach. So Jennifer helps do, she helps coordinate with the coordinators underneath her. She's our outreach, her and Steve, our outreach director. And so they help do all of the community events that we do when we go out in the community and do projects. And we try to bless them. Our splash events that are going to be coming on, where we do just free things in the community to make a splash for the name of Jesus. Local mission trips, international mission trips, all of that type of outreach-oriented things. She needs a lot more extra hands. Some of you say, well, I don't know what to do. I can't do nothing. Just be on her team. And then when they have an outreach opportunity and they say, hey, and she says, we just need some people that can rake leaves, or we need some people that can just paint, or we need some people that can just pick up stuff. And if you're able to do that, guess what? You're qualified to be on her team. Huh? Isn't that good? And she can use a lot of extra hands, because if we're going to be a church this year that's going to be a lot more intentional about even getting out into the community more, it's going to take a lot more hands. Here's a tendency. Here's what happens as the church grows larger. It's a crazy thing. Everybody starts thinking, ask somebody else, will do it. And guess what happens? Sometimes nobody does it. And so you need to see her. If you want to be in any type of outreach, any type, say, hey, I'll be there. Anything you're doing, I can be there to help. Would you see her? They also do the clothing ministry, the food pantry ministry. They need extra hands to help with that, right? So if you want any way to help with outreach, boom, you see Jennifer. Anything to add? Good? All right, would you give them a big round of applause? I'm going to show you a couple of pictures from the Du Bois Project. They went out this Saturday, and we went out there to do the Du Bois to help do some cleanup. A couple years ago, they did our overhaul and really cleaned it up. Now, this is the only ones I had on my phone, so I didn't take a whole lot, but that's a few. And that's another good daddy moment that I got. You know, Caleb's in there trying to paint that. He's did a good job there and worked really hard on that. But a lot of fun. A lot of people came out and helped just kind of clean that up and get that good. A positive thing that's in our community. Amen. And you realize we're here to bless our community. We're not here to take from our community. We're here to bless and give to our community. Now, here's the neat thing about what our church is able to do. We're about ready to spread out, because we've got a lot of people from Powell County coming. We need to go bless Powell County. We need to bless Menifee County. We need to bless Bath County, right? All right, so we're going to be getting ready. Y'all be getting ready. These hands are going to have to start working, and we're going to have many hands. Many hands. The more hands, the lighter the work. Amen? Many hands. Serving. Hands that build God's kingdom. You never know what it might mean just to paint something. God can get glorified from that. Now, here's the deal. And I'll wrap up. We cannot have hands that pray, hands that worship, hands that work, and hands that build without clean hands. Remember our verse in Job 17:9. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. There was a man in the Bible named Pilate. You remember Pilate? And Jesus was brought before him, and he was standing up there. And what did he try to do? He tried to wash his own hands and cleanse his own hands from the guilt, right? That doesn't work. That didn't work for Pilate, and it doesn't work for us still. You can never wash your own hands. You can never get your own self clean. You can't do it. The only way that our hands will be clean is that if we come surrendering to the hands that were nailed and pierced to the cross of Calvary. And our hands can't be cleansed by the washing of water, but our hands are only clean by the blood of Jesus. And until we've come to the point where we've realized that we're a sinner in need of grace, all of our prayers that we do, all of the worship that we do, all of the work that we do, all of the building that we do, if it's not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, it's still dirty hands. And none of that stuff will get you into the kingdom. Only faith in God's Son will. But boy, once you've been cleansed and your hands have been clean, then you've got a greater hand than yours that comes down and captures you. You see, Isaiah 49:16 says this, "Behold," he says, "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Clean hands, O God, come from you. And now that I've been cleansed, may my hands be used to lift up in prayer and praise to you. May I not raise my hands to any false gods but to you alone. May I work diligently so that I can provide and be a blessing for my family and the people in my community and my church. And may I focus on your kingdom's cause, because I know that everything that I build for you in your name with the right attitude, with the right spirit, it is what lasts, it's what matters.